I don't think that's on key.
Ghostbusters! Gin Busters! Happy Halloween, everyone!
Happy Halloween! Happy Hallows Eve!
For everyone who believes.
And also for the non-believers. I'm just going to represent the non-believers.
Fine for the non-believers. This is a special Halloween episode. So hopefully this comes out in time for you to listen to us before you go door knocking.
Happy celebrating another corporate capitalist holiday.
A pagan holiday.
Originally.
Zara, you had a very active month.
I did.
Where were you?
I went to China.
Holy crap.
All in this order. I did the moth. That was my first moth storytelling. And I'll let folks know when it's going to come out. At the Herbst Theater, 800 seats was amazing. And then I quit my job.
Oh my gosh.
And then I packed and moved down to LA officially. And then I went to China for 12 days.
Oh my gosh.
It was incredible. I'm going to talk about it all this episode. And flew back in the middle of Muslim ban 3.0.
I know. You just skated by before the deadline of that.
And we did actually get one of our family members to get stopped.
Of course.
There was a moment, but we made it through. Thank God. And now here I am with you, Taz. How was your month?
I feel like you're like a different person after this adventure. I feel less of a different person. I had a really busy month, but I like kind of laid low. I went to Atlanta for a conference. I just got back from Tucson, drove out there for the Thinking It's Presence conference, which is kind of like a race and poetry conference. And we did a panel on poetry a day for Ramadan. So that was really awesome. Finally, you know, it's a 5-year project and finally being able to take it on the road. And I met poets who I've always read. So, you know, it was just overall like a fantastic experience. I think the highlight since you've been gone for me has been the Work It Festival. That was the all women's podcast festival that happened at the beginning of this month. It was like 3 days. I led a conversation at the beginning of it. But just being in that space and being surrounded by all these women, a lot of women of color, talking about audio and podcasts. And it was just so warm and friendly.
It killed me that I missed that.
It was so lovely. And I just felt like everyone had pitches. Everyone had ideas. Everyone wanted to start a podcast. Everyone was, you know, all those. It was the highlight was like I would see people's names on either on the hashtag or in the schedule. But I wouldn't know what they looked like because it was radio. And, you know, I would just try to stalk everyone and just meet them. And then when you would meet them, you'd get like these big warm hugs. It was just great. Everyone was just like huge fans of each other. And, then from there, I went straight to the LA Podcast Festival that weekend. And that was a totally different scene because it was a lot of dude bros and not
all the other guys in podcasting.
All other people in podcasting. And it was less warm, less fuzzy. but if anyone gets a chance, there's a lot of videos left from the Work It Festival. Do look into it. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I can't wait to participate in it next year.
It was actually kind of lovely because when I got back, like as we flew out of the China blockade on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, then my phone just got like a flood of snaps of you on the panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was lots of love.
And then nothing. Because then you landed and you had no access to anything.
Yeah, that part was scary. But then we got through it.
You got through it. You had signal.
That's why this episode is ghostly, ghastly, and ghoulish.
Mm-hmm.
Which the GH, I kind of like want to say the G.
Can you explain that?
That's the sound, the G sound that like Americans, most people can't do it.
Yeah, it's an actual letter in the Arabic language. I can't say it.
The G?
Yeah. I remember getting yelled at by my Arabic teacher for not being able to say it. It's G. That's what I remember.
Yeah, that's.
And I was just like, can you do it? Stop.
That's what Duncan sounded like when he said his wedding vow. With my dad's hands around his throat, trying to get him to say the. Talk about an I do.
I do not remember this. This must have been in private.
No, it's at the end of my show, All Atheists Are Muslim. My dad is like holding Duncan's throat, trying to help him say the in Qabulam, which means I do.
Oh.
And he sounded a lot like start of a happy marriage, that sound.
I'm sure. glossly and ghoulish. How do we want to start this conversation?
I feel like we should just get into what it is that you want to tell people about me, which is I am a non-believer of ghosts.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't believe in ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts.
It's impossible.
Well, I mean, clearly you are a fan of the impossible.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this, and for me, Islam is a lot about believing in the not what you can see. So one of the tenets is that you don't just believe in other humans, but you also believe in angels and devils and jinns. I remember that clearly in that the Surah Al-Jinn, which is all about, you know, about jinns and how there's this like fourth dimension of people.
Science may prove that there is a fourth dimension.
Yes, science may prove that.
Our producer just made the most confused face in the world. This is, again, why we are not a podcast of facts. That may or may not be true.
But, I mean, like, this also could be, like, our differences in how we were raised in Islam. So what were you raised with believing? Because you also say you don't believe in angels, and that just, like, is mind-blowing to me.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like to
be— It's all metaphor to me. I see it all as a metaphor. And I don't like the personifications because, like, okay, say that they did exist. Let's say that they did exist. Then, you know, I definitely wouldn't want people projecting their own images of it.
Meaning?
Well, like the angel Gabriel with his blonde hair and blue eyes and white feathery wings.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I definitely, when I think of angels, I don't see them as, you know, with wings or like a human thing. Like I kind of, in my head, like? I just kind of, they're just spirits. Spirits?
Oh, I was so ambiguous. Sure we were going to say mermaids at the same time.
Nope, not mermaids. But just kind of like ambiguous looking energies.
So just like light.
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, with wings?
Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. I don't really see wings. Like if you can like fly as an angel, you don't really need wings. But I feel like that's like what birds do. But I do believe in like there being an energy.
I definitely believe in an energy that connects us all. I do believe in like a collective unconscious, which is like very white San Francisco of me.
Yeah.
And I do believe in possibilities.
But you don't believe in actual like angel Gabriel or the good angel and bad angels on your shoulders or...
Let me put it this way. I have found it makes me the best person that I can be to see all of that as metaphors and mythical adventures, not to debunk them as fact, but that I just gain more from it when I view it that way.
When you view it as a metaphor.
Yeah. Then it takes it out of the space of the literal, and I feel like it's more enriching that way. And so I don't really see the point, apart from when I was a kid and I was like really hoping that jinns were behind the tooth fairy.
I do believe jinns are behind the tooth fairy. I do agree with that. No, I believe wholeheartedly that like there are angels and that there are jinns, and I actually don't believe jinns are the devil. I believe that jinns are like a fourth creature that we can't see, and sometimes they traverse different dimensions. And I believe ghosts are something completely different. I believe ghosts, I think like my belief in ghosts really changed after mom died, just because like my sister at her janazah said that she could feel my mom's hand on her head and just kind of like comforting her. And I never actually got to feel my mom while awake, but mom did come visit me in my dreams. And then I had an interaction with a psychic who said that she could feel mom's presence around me, and just all of that stuff around, it was just too coincidental, you know, just like feeling like I could feel her, like I could feel the wind tickling my ankles, but I could tell like that was sent from her. Or like when the cat started coming around, this cat we didn't have all of a sudden started coming around after mom died. You know, there's just too many signs, too many things happening for me to not believe.
See, what I appreciate about everything you just said is that this is an interpretation that enriches your experience of her, of your memories, and your relationship with your sisters and your family. Like, I'm all for that. The version that you hold on to that enriches your experience of a faith, mm-hmm, or a spirituality or a religion, however you like to call it, that to me is tantamount. So like that's part of why people like to label me as atheist. And I push back on that and I say no. And it's because people always want to box me in or whatever. And like, I'm sorry, you can't. I'm not an atheist, because also that interpretation isn't enriching for me. Faith is supposed to be enriching for you, right? And it's not for me when I think about it that way. That's its purpose, and so I see it this way.
Okay, so let's talk about ghosts then. So
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Because you watch way more scary movies than I do. Like, I can't watch scary movies because I feel like watching scary crap, like, conjures up demons from the underground, and I try to just stay away from that shit because I don't want that messing with my reality.
Yeah, to give people a sense of how bizarre I am, some of the movies that I have watched to go to sleep soundly are Poltergeist.
Oh my gosh.
Jaws and Jaws.
I bought Zara a Jaws-themed pillow cover for her birthday. I just want to say I'm that great of a friend.
Because so that way thoughtful.
She can fall asleep on the Jaws because she's bizarre.
I love him.
So do you think that if you believed that you would be able to fall asleep watching Poltergeist?
Oh, that's like a existential question. Oh, yeah. I feel like it would just like keep me awake with all kinds of like percolating thought.
What do you mean?
It would contribute significantly to my insomnia.
Yeah. That's how the rest of the world exists.
So like all the rest of you are like, oh shit, this could be real.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, Poltergeist could happen right now.
No, but if I was watching the movie, I would definitely think I would not be able to sleep at night.
Some portal to another world.
Oh, totally.
That you could enter.
Oh, yeah. So a couple of years ago for this Subcontinental Scary Storytelling show, I ended up performing a Victor Hugo poem called The Djinn. It's a really beautiful poem where he talks about the djinns come, but it was really scary. And I had to rehearse it, and I was practicing it. And just that whole month just got really dark for me. Like, it wasn't that I wasn't being haunted, but I felt like I had bad energy coming around me. And we did the performance at midnight on Halloween. It was awesome. We did two runs of it. But yeah, ever since then, I was like, I'm not going to call things I don't want to call. I'm only going to keep happy, good, positive, beautiful energy around me. None of this scary stuff. There's no scary.
And that's when you decided you're not watching those kinds of movies and having that.
Well, I've always not watched those kinds of movies because I realized that anytime I did, I would just stay up all night and I would feel weird things.
There is a heavy feeling that I have, but that I love about fall and the month of October. It's my favorite month. It was the month that I wanted to get married in. It's the month of our anniversary. It's the month that my brother was diagnosed with cancer. I also see it as like a month of solidarity amongst women.
Yeah.
This was like a little bit more in my white feminist days, I want to say. But nonetheless, like the accusations of women as witches and all the ways that women aren't allowed to be that make them ugly.
Yeah.
And also I have a big nose.
Okay.
And every single Halloween was the only time that I really got to embrace it because everyone wanted me to be the witch.
Oh, that's so funny.
And it was like this little glimmer of popularity that I really enjoyed. And I actually really love the witch of like every movie I ever saw. Like I sided with the witch in Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. I was like, you landed on her sister.
I sided with the good witch there. I was all about the good witch.
I hated the good witch.
I was confused by the Wicked Witch of the West.
Why?
Because I kind of did, was like, you know, she did land on your house. But the Gilda, the good witch, she was so nice and pretty. I wanted to be her.
No, I hated her.
She was like sparkling.
That's why I didn't like her.
Sparkles. So do you have any ghost stories?
Okay, I have two.
Okay.
There was one time I remember, Backdraft. I think it was called Backdraft. It was like the Kurt Russell movie with fire. And it made like fire this like entity. It was like a djinn-like entity.
Okay.
And Tess is like totally not with me right now. Can eyes roll that much? I don't know. And wait, listen, I had a bedroom that is like next to the water heater of the house. And they talked about all the places that fires would start in the house. And I was freaking out all night. And I kept wishing and hoping and wishing and hoping that the spirit of my grandfather would come protect me. And then in the middle of the night, I did feel this like rush of love and safety that I can't describe, that I now, in retrospect, see as a flood of endorphins.
Oh, stop. It was your grandfather who's coming to protect you.
And during the month of Halloween, me and all of our neighbors on our cul-de-sac may have conspired to convince a kid on the block that aliens were real.
That aliens are real.
You would have been really fun.
Aliens obviously are real, Zara.
I'm not saying nothing. Well, actually, I think it's very on brand for me to like say that I'll believe it when I see it because it's very narcissistic.
I have complete belief that you will be seeing aliens before you die on this planet.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I used to be like,
I think I'm more scared of aliens than I am of ghosts because I don't know.
And of those two, what about Trump?
The worst. That was absolutely scary, of course.
I've been noticing a lot on social media, people will be like, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? And like 4 out of 10 answers will be like, the life we're living right now.
Oh, totally. This is absolutely the most scary.
People in China were like, what the hell is going on with the U.S.?
Yeah. Were you like, yes, let me explain it to you. You're like, language barrier. We can't keep up. We can't communicate. Sorry.
Okay. Our tour guide told us that the retirement age was 50.
Yeah.
And that's all we were thinking about the entire trip.
And you're like, communism, yes.
A little bit. A little bit.
Capitalistic communism, this is the best.
What's capitalistic communism?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
I don't know. They have a lot of, like, wealthy things there, right? So I just can't figure out how everyone can own so many Louis Vuitton bags, yet, like, be so communist. So, I don't know. They must have figured out a way.
The tax on all non-Chinese-made items is 30%.
Oh.
Hence the flood of, like, buying designer bags.
Designer stuff.
When you're out of the country, because it's much cheaper.
Interesting.
Okay, I want to hear your ghost story.
My ghost story? You know, I don't have anything specific. I definitely felt things after Mom had died, and that was a thing. One of the things that I remember is when my sister went away to college, her room was empty, and this was about 11 years ago. And I woke up around 5 a.m. to the sound of... And I woke up and I was like, holy shit, what's knocking? And the way my bed was positioned, the sound sounded like it was coming from behind in the empty room. It was like what I started referring to as the witching hour. This like 4 to 5 o'clock time. And I was like, fuck. And then I couldn't go to sleep. So I like forced myself to go to sleep. And then I woke up and I was like, why were you knocking on my wall? And she's like, I wasn't knocking on your wall. And then I went to my parents and they weren't knocking. Then I was just like, oh my gosh, what is this noise? Then I think the knocking happened a few more times. It was always when the room was empty and no one believed me. When my sister, whose room it was, when she was in there was no sounds. And I found myself waking up around 4 or 5 o'clock, just like kind of in terror. And I was just like looking at the clock and I would just go like, oh my gosh, you have to go to sleep before I hear the knocking again. And so then I told my middle sister, who was on the other side of the hallway, and she's like, you're ridiculous. How are, like, you cannot be hearing. And she was completely, like, everyone thought I was ridiculous. I'm not quite sure which sister heard it first, but I think my youngest sister, when I was out of that house and my room was empty, she also heard the knocking. It's always 3 knocks. It's always, like, really late at night, like 4 or 5 a.m. And then she was just like, I believe you. Like, I heard it too. And then she also thought it was my other sister pulling a prank. And then the middle sister, who is the one who felt my mom at her burial, she was the one who was just like, no, you both are being ridiculous. And we're like, you of all people are the one who like should believe in this the most because you're the one who has the most feelings to the other side. And she was like, no, no, no. And then she heard it coming from another wall. So the knockings aren't coming from outside the walls on the outside of the house. They're all coming from the inside walls. And they're always like 3 and it's always like 4 or 5 in the morning.
So when did you find this band of rats?
We found no band of rats. We found that the noise actually escalated when we talked about it inside the house.
Whoa.
So whenever we would say like, hey, did you hear that knocking? Then we would hear it that night. So then we got into the habit of not mentioning it in the house at all.
What? You have to mention, you have to like find out what it is. You have to find the portal.
No, I don't want to find the portal. I don't want to conjure anything. So like my mom eventually heard it too. My mom heard it in her bedroom. And then my dad is the one who we least thought would be a believer in this because he's so dogmatic in his beliefs. But he also heard it, but he was like, oh, I heard 3 knocks, but I just thought it was something else. Like he heard it, but he kind of like explained it away. So we kind of thought that after Mom died, that the noise would go away, that her spirit would somehow protect us or something. But my cousin, who came and stayed at our house right after Mom died, she heard it too, but she like really wanted to hear it, whatever the thing was, it called to her. And we haven't heard from it been like 5 years now.
So only the cousin is the latest to...
Yeah, the cousin's the latest, and that was like 5 years ago. But now I really try not to wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock. And it's only inside that house. I don't hear anything at my current apartment. But whenever like any of the rooms are empty, like we're all like, As long as we don't mention the knocking while we're inside the house, then we're totally fine. Like it doesn't.
I don't understand why you wouldn't be in there being like, knocking, 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 knocking. We hear it. And then like also get a Ouija board. How are you going to ever get to the like third act climax?
Because we don't want to die, which is what happens at the end of the scary movies.
No, there are people who die. But so just like invite over like some Tinder date you didn't like. And that will be the dispensable human.
No, I don't actually want you to do Ouija board in our house either.
That's where the portal is.
There's something happening, but it definitely like went away after mom passed.
Here's the other thing is like I can't let things lie.
You have to let this lie.
But on your behalf, I'll let it lie. This is your gym.
There is no conjuring. Do not like call it. Do not ask it to make its appearance every time you come to our house. I will hate you.
Whoa, that just gave me the chills.
As it should. So that's my ghost story. Our little house ghost. I don't think it's necessarily malicious, but it was definitely making itself known.
Okay, so I feel like this is a good transition to flying while brown.
Because jinns fly.
And like witches fly. On yeah, broomsticks yeah. And like, you yeah. know.
So Zara, once again, you are validated in your boycott of Southwest.
Muslims fly JetBlue.
And someone was dragged off of it again. Mm. A brown woman. Her name's Anila Dalutza. You know, it's funny because I have this issue too. She's allergic to dogs. And for Southwest flights, the policy is that you tell people when you're at the gate that you're allergic to dogs. Then you just kind of like sit somewhere else on the plane. She did that. And then she sat down on the plane. And I guess the people with the dogs sat somewhere else. But then the flight attendants came onto the plane and said, well, we have to take you off the plane. And she's like, no, I have to go to this. I think she was going to some important event. Important family event, maybe like a funeral or something. Like she's like, no, I have to be on this plane. You can't take me off. And then they dragged her off. And then she wrote this letter afterwards saying that she was 2 months pregnant and that it was uncalled for. And it was just terrible. Wow. Terrible.
And again, it was like a very violent, transgressive taking her off the plane. It was not.
Totally. Totally taking her off the plane. And like, I get it that like, you know, on Southwest, you get to choose your own seat. So you can't necessarily choose if you're one of the first on the planes, you can't choose that the person sitting next to you isn't a dog. But it's not like she was a round dog. She just told them that she was allergic, which on the Southwest website is the policy that if you are allergic to an animal, you have to inform the flight attendants.
Separately, the way that they remove white people from situations is very different than people of color.
Yeah. How?
Ripping them out of their chairs, mm-hmm. giving them concussions sometimes.
Totally.
Thrusting them forward, grabbing them by the underarms. Like I've seen them just wait and wait and wait for white people to get up and go. And just like trying to convince them and talk to them and being like, well, there's nothing we can do if they're not leaving. We just have to wait. If you don't leave, then we all have to wait here, sir. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
And just a few weeks ago, one of the organizers of the Women's March, she also got pulled off the plane, mainly because she had asked for a window seat and she was registered for a window seat. And then they gave her a middle seat. So then she went up to the counter to say, no, I was supposed to get a window seat. Then the pilot heard her and said that he wasn't going to fly the plane as long as she was on it. So then they took her off the plane.
That is so inappropriate.
Yeah, totally inappropriate, totally uncalled for. And there was she's a black woman. There's definitely race and gender involved in that, pulling off the plane.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is why I fly JetBlue.
Pretty sure JetBlue has incidences. It sounds like every airplane has incidences at this point.
So far, the only incidents, knock on wood, that I've heard with JetBlue was actually a very racist woman who was saying that she would not fly with this woman, or she did not want to sit next to this woman in hijab.
Ugh.
And they moved the woman in hijab, who I think she's an activist herself. But she mentioned to the flight attendant, this woman doesn't want to sit next to me. So I don't want to sit next to her either, basically. And they put her in first class. And then they had an officer meet the racist woman at the gate. And as she was walking away in a different direction, she heard the officer saying to her, we do not put up with this on JetBlue.
Nice.
Right?
I want to get first class because of racism.
That's pretty
nice. It's like reverse microaggression.
I know. That went pretty well, huh?
I know. If only every time we get microaggressed, we can get first class service. And something else happened while you were gone.
Yes. This one was one I was very afraid of.
The Muslim ban 3.0.
And there's already talk of 4.0.
There is talk of 4.0. There was a stay on Muslim ban 3.0. Of course, Hawaii, again, by an Asian American judge.
Yeah!
Put a stay on it. And it was, the Muslim ban 3.0 was supposed to drop on the 18th of this month, October 18th. And the stay was put on it the night before. So everyone in the world of activism, we had been organizing events and organizing all these actions to go down on the 18th. And we continued to have those events. There was a huge rally in D.C. and there was rallies all across the country. But the stay was put the night before. So we were all very relieved that that was happening. Hmm. And one of the things that we did for 18 Million Rising, which is where I work, is we did 13 poets, 26 poems on the theme of No Muslim Ban Ever by Asian American poets. And we just wrapped that up. Very excited about that. Do check out 18 Million Rising's Facebook. We have all of the images of the poems. We did micro poems for No Muslim Ban Ever.
Hawaii and Maryland came through.
They did, but we are on edge because who knows what this administration is going to do.
Well, and aside from that, just the confusion enables so much.
Oh, yeah.
I had a family member pulled aside.
How did that happen? Which family member?
She is a distant family member. She had a green card. And so they pulled her aside for some questioning and filming.
They filmed her?
Yeah, that was weird.
What were they filming?
I don't have any other information than that.
But she got pulled into secondary, basically.
Right. And it was like 40 minutes. And we were very nervous.
Isn't that long, considering that in the past it's been hours and hours and hours? But it is still a long time.
We all postponed our shuttles and we waited.
Of course.
Yeah. We were very worried. Also because she's elderly.
Mm-hmm.
But her daughter was with her and everything. Thank God.
Okay. Cue creeping Sharia noise. Okay, Zara, what's your creeping Sharia?
The Exorcist was written by a Muslim dude.
Bullshit, but I totally believe it.
It is one of the best horror films of all time. The guy who wrote it is Muslim, Catholic, Lebanese. He wrote The Exorcist.
Okay, so I haven't watched it, obviously. Are there Muslim elements to The Exorcist? Like, now that you know that, so what are the Muslimish things that you remember from the movie?
Okay, so number one, you should never, ever watch it.
Obviously.
It is too much.
I know
this. It's going to be too much for you. It's too much for my mom. Like, she won't be in the house when it's on.
Of course, because it's conjuring up all the evil spirits, Zara.
That's a heavy movie. Like, every time I've seen it where I think, like, oh, I'm going to giggle at these, like, outlandish parts where she's possessed because it's not going to translate. It's going to look silly. And then I always leave, like, fucked up and nauseous.
Oh, yeah.
It's so intense. So there's, like, a transference of jinn. He's, like, doing archaeological digging. In a rock somewhere.
Okay.
In the opening. And then it makes its way here.
Oh my gosh. So it's an actual jinn possession.
It's
so
an actual jinn possession.
That's never really made clear. I've heard of stories where jinns kind of travel along with people and they've come to houses.
Ugh.
And they, like, open up all the cupboards. I don't really hear this about ghost stories, but I hear this about jinn stories. Like, jinns will, like, tag along.
So they had to they go through the process of exorcising this jinn.
So it's in jinn possession all this time America's been scared by this whole idea of possession in this movie The Exorcist, which was out in the 1980s, but really it was a jinn story. My mind is blown right now. That is the ultimate creeping Sharia.
What you got, Tess?
My creeping Sharia is that recently a historian went into the Viking files. Apparently, they've been finding relics from funeral cloth of Vikings for a while, but someone went in to actually do the research on what they found, and they found the word Allah and Ali.
No way. Ali?
Ali, your people's.
Shia Vikings.
The researchers said that so far, 10 of the nearly 100 pieces, the words Allah and Ali appear together.
This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
So Vikings. So then I was thinking about it. Maybe I think they kind of alluded in the article that because this is the funeral garb, that maybe that people that were buried were Muslim.
They killed Muslims?
I don't know. I was thinking there's possibility of like the Silk Trade route going up there, right?
I do remember reading that in my textbook.
I mean, there was a lot of movement of economy. I don't know if there was like Muslim Vikings, but maybe there were. Maybe there's a Viking ship and it was like Muslim Vikings.
I bet there was like one guy who was like, you know, Valhalla, everybody believes that, but like, I don't know, I'm really into Allah. And another guy was like chugging his like giant like beer stein. Like, made of bone.
Haram.
Yeah, that's totally it.
That's haram. And he was like, I believe in Allah now.
Valhalla and Allah. It's like hella close, man.
Oh my gosh, they are hella close.
Right?
Valhalla and Allah.
And then maybe he was like, do you notice how like that beer, that ale, they would say ale.
Yeah.
In this factual.
Right.
Retelling. That it's distorting your state of mind.
Yeah.
Allah wants you to be present.
You have angels on your shoulders.
As does Prophet Hazrat Ali sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
I actually don't remember any of the Viking mythologies that exist, but I remember there was a character named Freya, right? Freya. Oh, and Thor, mighty god of thunder.
And there's the hammer.
The hammer.
And Tesla.
I think that was a car.
I think that's the Marvel version.
Well, so there you go. Vikings are Muslim.
So, okay, the math then is, Vikings are Muslim. Every frat house that has ever had those horned Viking hats.
Muslim.
Those are Muslim parties.
Muslim parties.
Which is awkward because there's a lot of booze at those parties. Yep. But I'm okay with it. And by proxy then, my husband is like double, triple Muslim.
Oh, totally Muslim.
Because he's like a total Vikingophile.
Yeah. There you go. Muslim. All of it. Boom.
That might be my favorite creeping Sharia of all time.
Mighty god of thunder.
Fatwa time. Fatwa, fatwa, fatwa.
Okay, so I'm totally over all these white women wearing hijab. I know, we're talking about hijab again, even though I hate talking about hijab. But why do white women have to wear hijab to pretend like they're us? So there's this documentary that came out in the UK, and they had a white woman who was really scared of Muslims.
Oh, I didn't know this aspect of it.
They had her put on a hijab, they put on a prosthetic nose.
Oh my God.
They put brown face.
Oh boy.
And they followed her around for a week. So this documentary, they started filming it the day before the Manchester bombing in the UK. It's called My Week as a Muslim, and it just aired this past month. And the fact that they put a prosthetic nose on her and then the prosthetic chin and they browned her face, super problematic.
Yeah, already.
And like, you don't need to dress up like a Muslim, i.e., but also like there's no, I'm Muslim. You can't dress up. Like, it's not Muslim. All of it.
I know.
It's just. If my face could be a cartoon right now, it'd have steam coming out of the ears like this. And go.
Ugh. I also appreciate, too, that there's this way that this invisibilizes all the, like, white people who are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't wear hijab.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, with these stories, I always wonder if there's, like, some white lady somewhere that is like, but I am Muslim, too.
There is. We're in a lot of Facebook groups where you do hear white Muslim women who say, like, this is ridiculous because this invisibilizes my experience. The funny thing about this is that we actually got on our email hotline, we got this story pitched to us, and they wanted us to talk positively about it. I was like, I just don't think.
Positively? That's how I saw it on Twitter.
They didn't say positively, but they're like, hey, there's this documentary that's coming out. We'd love if you could talk about it. Ugh. Well, this is us talking about it. It sucked. Don't do stuff like this. Please. Come on. Be better.
The U.S. also had a documentary like this, but it was with black people and white people. And they put on, like, prosthetics.
Oh, God.
And blackface.
So I'm fatwaing white people putting on nose prosthetic and prosthetic chins and hijab.
Oh, I'm with that fatwa. No.
Fatwa, no. I feel like we fatwaed it before, fatwaing it again. You know, the director of the movie is a Muslim American woman, and she wanted to create a film that kind of expanded beyond what you usually see in documentaries. So, you know, I will say good try, but fail. Fail execution. Good try. Good attempt. Don't do it. What's your fatwa?
I was debating because I've moved to LA now, and the traffic.
Well, you're driving at, like, peak traffic times.
It's always a peak traffic time.
There are certain times where it's not peak traffic time.
Oh, my God. There isn't. Okay. This is my fatwa.
Okay.
All right. You know how people on, like, trick-or-treat time, like hide in bushes and stuff like that and jump out and scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And your kids.
Uh-huh.
I hate those people.
I think it's illegal.
Is it really?
It should be illegal.
For people to jump out and say boo?
I guess if you're not, you know.
I did it as a kid.
You would be in trouble now.
We did it for like 5 Halloweens.
Oh my gosh, you would be in so much trouble now.
People would call the cops
and they would like, because we're in a super PC culture now where that stuff wouldn't fly.
You can't jump out and yell boo?
Mm-mm.
One time I put so much hairspray in my sister's hair so it felt crinkly.
You would get pepper sprayed now.
Oh my God. That would be terrible. We put all this hairspray in her hair so it was like crinkly.
Yeah.
So it felt fake. And then we put latex gloves on her, and I put makeup all over them, like foundation makeup. And I painted the nails of them so they would look like fake doll hands. And then I put a garbage bag around her, and then over the garbage bag we put pajamas. And she laid in her chair, like slumped, with the candy.
Oh, my gosh.
It said, take one. And there was a dude from her algebra class that didn't recognize her and totally went for it and was like, whatever, guys, it's fake. And it was like a movie moment. He reached in, she grabbed his wrist and arched her back up, and he just screamed bloody murder and ran. And it was amazing, but I don't like it when it happens to me, and that is why I fought with it.
We should go to Not Scary Farm.
What's that?
It's a Southern California adventure.
That's not scary?
It's usually not Scary Farm, but then they turn it into like a scary, everyone jumps out and screams at you.
Oh, I hate the jumping out.
Yeah. That was like where we used to go in high school.
I just like it when I do it.
Oh, we definitely have to go.
All right. I've been looking forward to this segment.
Awkward Ask a Muslim.
Well, I want to hear yours first.
Okay. I'm going to say that my Awkward Ask a Muslim is after Kumail Nanjiani did his SNL bit, everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Didn't you love it? And I was just like,
I don't think I've ever heard that pitch from you before.
It's, you know what? I'm not a stand-up comedian, right? Everyone thinks I'm a comedian because I'm on this podcast and I'm not. And those were the kind of jokes I would have done. You know, like I talk about Islamophobia. I kind of joke around about it. I talk about racism and how racists need to be smarter. And I talk about origin story. It just was so like basic.
It's SNL.
But Aziz Ansari did a fantastic job on his opening skit.
And I don't even think he said the word Muslim.
But he talked about Muslim issues. He did talk about his parents in his opening skit from what I recall of it. But, like, yes, Kumail Nanjiani was able to, like, he was very specific and he was very clear. And he didn't see anything problematic about what he said, really. But it was just so not smart and witty. And I just want it to be better. I want it to be smarter. And it just wasn't there. Also, he was, like, totally exotifying his white woman experience. And that was also just triggering for me.
Why is that?
You can read my article on the Big Sick and what I think the Aerogram.
Yes, I did. And I actually really like that article.
Yeah, everyone else can read it too now. Go read it. Oh, yeah, you wanted to respond.
I did. Yeah, I did want to respond to that because it's comedy and it's SNL. Like, I do think that he has quite a task there. There's an enormous learning curve. And when I perform for different audiences, I can't tell you how much the audience wholly changes my content.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's SNL. I think that might have been the first or the second time that they've said the word Muslim mm-hmm. on that show ever, which I've been really surprised by considering how much we are in the news. They've managed to sort of like skirt around it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get that. I think you can be like we're in 2017. You can be smart about things.
I don't think you can.
I think you
That's
can.
That's my pushback. I'm saying my stance is I don't think you can. I think that the audience that he was speaking to, like, SNL is clear on who its audience is.
That's what my sister was saying. She was like, well, I guess if he's writing this for a white audience, then I guess it's funny. But, you know, it just wasn't for me.
In this day and age, I feel like when TV shows pick a demographic, they really are choosing it. Because they do have the ability to reach out beyond that demographic.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people are, there's a lot more brown characters on TV now, a lot more Muslims. There's a new Muslim character out on a CW superhero TV show, which is coming out. Zari is her name. You know, like there's people are inserting Muslim characters in a lot of different television shows, which is kind of cool to see.
Mm.
But I think it could have been better.
Oh, so painful for me to hear as a comedian because it's so hard. Like, I would love to talk to him about that. Camille, if you're out there, I'm so curious because I like the trade-offs. Like, it's hard.
Totally. But just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it.
Well, I'm not going with you there. I don't know. We could do a whole episode just on this.
We could, but we could go on forever on that point. But you have a really exciting awkward Ask a Muslim you've been dying to tell me.
Oh, my God. Okay. When we were in China, we were in the city of Tian. Gorgeous.
When you say gorgeous, what does it look like?
Oh, my God. It was so green. We also came in the middle of the rains. It was just, like, nice to be out of California and see green.
Was it, like, mountainous or foresty or jungly?
It kind of reminded me, like, a little bit of the Bay Area. Like, it reminded me of Lake Merritt.
Okay.
Like, it was just, like, very green, very lush, and mostly, like, flat. It wasn't, like, hilly like San Francisco. It wasn't as densely populated as I thought it was going to be. Like, gorgeous monuments, beautiful lights, very clean. Like, that was one thing I noticed because I was like, oh, your streets don't have pee on them like San Francisco. Just, like, it was so beautiful.
And what happened there?
So we were taken to this place called the Muslim Quarter. We had this, like, private bus because we had a huge group. And the guy was like, don't eat the meat. Whatever you do, just don't eat the meat.
He was telling you not to eat the meat in the Muslim Quarter?
Yeah. Oh. He was like, whatever you do, just don't eat the meat. Eat anything you want. Eat the fried persimmon cakes. Just don't eat the meat. And then I saw, like, the meat was just, like, sitting out forever.
Oh.
Like, raw. Just, like, being held up there. And it, like, the stench was heavy. And then it was just, like, a series of microaggressions from all sides galore. There was, like, one person in our party who was like, this is an embarrassment to Muslim people everywhere.
Why?
Because it was, like,
dirty?
Dirty.
Oh.
And they were like, this is haram because, like, they're just leaving it out. And then there are all these tourists here that are seeing the, like, quote-unquote Muslim quarter.
Right.
You know, as this, like, representation of Islam.
Right.
And then we're walking through and, like, I'm getting grabbed by people to, like, take pictures with them.
Like strangers?
Yeah.
Like strangers were trying to stop you. They're like, oh, here's Zara the comedian from America.
Oh, I wish. It was more like I've never seen a foreign person like you.
Wow.
Or anybody as tall as you, maybe. I don't know. Because I was, like, towering.
Were they grabbing anyone else or just
my
you?
Nieces.
Your nieces.
My nieces, because they're mixed. And people were taking a million photos with them. It's like, they should charge.
You should.
And, okay, I had this weird moment where there was this guy with a kufi, and he was, like, smiling at everybody, and he had these, like, date cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to try anything there because I was like, I'm officiating a wedding. I don't need to have an upset tummy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to risk anything. But I walk by there with my aunt, and then he just goes, don't touch. And he puts his hand in front of mine.
What?
To block me from taking any date samples.
Why?
I don't know. And I was like, what? And he just said, don't touch. And I just, like, ignored him because I was like, don't touch what? Like, it's samples.
Yeah.
And then this other woman came, and she was Chinese, and he just smiled at her and, like, made a comment, and she took one and left. And then I went to go reach for it, and he said, don't touch again. He put his hand in front of me. And then my aunt was like, don't touch? Why not touch? I don't understand. Why not touch?
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't look at us. He wouldn't look at me. And he just kept saying, don't touch, every time I would reach for it. And then, of course, I started to reach for it more and more.
How many times did you reach for it?
Like 7.
No way.
I was so angry. I was, like, seething. I was like, why? And I just kept reaching for it. And he would say, don't touch. And I would say, why? And he would just look away. And then I was like, it was messing with me because I was like, is it because I'm not wearing hijab? Is it, we're Muslim.
Yeah.
Like, what are you mad about? But he wouldn't let my aunt take one either. And she wears hijab. She's fully covered. He wouldn't let her take one either. And then I was like, is it an ethnic thing?
Yeah.
But then my aunt looks like a white lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, like, blonde hair peeking out. And then I'm like, is that what did it? Is it the hair peeking out? And it was just, like, messing with my mind. And I just got no closure.
When did you walk away?
I mean, eventually I walked off.
You didn't, like, lick everything before you left? Just, no. Oh, mine!
But you know what I did do? I took out my camera and I just stuck it in his face for, like, a full minute. Because that was all camera? I could do. That was, like, my road rage reaction. I was so angry. Also, he was a very good-looking man. Which made it all the worse. I didn't understand. And then I go back to our party because, like, we all had to gather and regroup at a specific time. And I was like, God, this guy, like, wouldn't serve us. And then everyone immediately was like, oh, you're overreacting. And then my aunt was like, no, I was there. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, maybe it's because you're so tall. And then that, the body shame messed with me the whole trip.
Because you're so tall. Well, everyone there is pretty short. Well, it has nothing to do with you touching dates.
It just was so bizarre. Like, I have no answer.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know what it was.
And then language was a barrier, too. So in the Muslim quarter, did they, I guess they only spoke Chinese?
Yeah, they only spoke Chinese. It gets even more awkward. So then I tell the tour bus driver what happened. He rolls his eyes and he says, the Muslim people of China are very spoiled.
Spoiled.
He says they have a lot of leeway that a lot of other citizens don't get because they're not Muslim. And they're very spoiled. They don't care about making money.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds really racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And it sounds like a lot of the welfare bullshit that people try to pull when they talk about African Americans. Totally. Like, living off the government, like type stuff. And immediately my brother-in-law was like, excuse me? He's African American. And he was like offended on both counts.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, like he just kept digging himself a hole. He was like, oh, they're very spoiled by the government. They get handouts and they get, you know, and it was just like, what the?
Oh, so they were marginalized and murdered and like weren't allowed to believe what they believed. Like what? What?
It was so weird. So then we just like, I left there hating the Muslim quarter of Xi'an.
Interesting. That's definitely very awkward.
It was layers of awkward. So that was my awkward moment of the trip. All right, we've got a good Muslim award to give before we're out.
Oh my gosh, I love this person. So good.
Fazia Mirza, thanks to you, because we've already given her a good Muslim award.
Yeah, you get another one.
This good Muslim award also goes to Burger King.
I don't know if I want to give it to Burger King. I'd just rather give it to Fazia.
I'm down with that.
Burger King put out a anti-bullying campaign. And they had like a hidden camera set up in the Burger King, and they did a fake bullying thing to see if people would stop them. And I don't think they got a lot of responses. Not a lot of people in Burger King were stopping the bullying, the teenagers bullying thing from happening. But Fazia, really adorably, actually, when you watch the video, she's like looking at the bullying thing happen, and then she says,
"Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm okay."
"Yeah."
And then she just like pauses for a beat, and then she picks up her tray and walks over to the guy and just starts eating her fries across the table from the guy and starts this conversation.
"This feels better to me.
Have you ever been like messed with before?"
"Oh my God. This is like the ideal world is where if somebody else sees like something weird happening that they'll come over and be like, hey, this is not okay."
Yeah.
Like just to hearing her, how she said the whole, "Are you okay?" I was like, that was like, it was so sweet to watch that. Mm-hmm. And just like
she's
her
so good
tone.
At it.
And I was like, wow. I think I would say like, I would have been a little bit more like abrasive about it. But she was like, there was just so much caring in how she said it. I was like, man, I need to be like her.
And she is a queer Muslim woman in a Burger King PSA on bullying.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's totally huge.
Oh my God. That was so, like, I saw that in the middle of the night and was just like, retweeting the shit out of it. I was excited.
Yeah.
And I also love that in the PSA, they have a guy punching Whoppers.
Yeah.
And everyone's like outraged.
Yeah.
There's literally a kid being messed with behind them that they're ignoring and yelling about their Whopper.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole point of the
PSA. It was great.
PSA. It was a great PSA. Great job. And then Fazia says that it was unplanned. It was really spontaneous. And that's just how she is. Is what she said. I was like, is it because she's an actress? Is this what happened? Nope. She said she just happened to be in Burger King. And I was like, how does she stay so skinny eating Burger King? How is this possible?
She just happened to be there, seriously?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what she said.
No.
No, it's I asked.
That's what the NDA says for her to say. Come on, Fazia. Come on, give us the goods.
Yeah, tell us the truth.
Well, that brings us to the end.
The end. The end of a ghoulish, ghostly,
ghastly,
ginful,
joyful
podcast. what do you got going on?
I am marathoning Stranger Things.
I am not, because that shit looks scary.
And Halloween is also on my anniversary.
That's so weird.
Our first date was a Halloween party.
Oh, your first date. I was like, did you get married on Halloween?
No, that would be awesome, though.
yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah, I'm not marathoning that. You know what I am marathoning? I'm marathoning the Snap Judgment Offshoot podcast, Spooks. It's really scary, but I'm still listening to it. It's good. It's good stuff. It's like all of their scary, all of those Snap Judgment scary stories.
Isn't it more scary when it's not visual? Because then you can imagine it.
Yeah, totally.
Ooh.
And then another scary podcast I was listening to was Lore.
Oh, that's so good.
Lore was pretty good. And I just finished the Dear John series, which is not really Halloween, but it's a murder mystery. And that scared me away from online dating for probably 6 months. LA Times put that one out.
We need you to do the online dating so we can open up the gin portal that is in your house.
No, 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 no knocking. No more knocking. Nope, 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 nope. I feel like even just talking about it on this podcast means that it's going to hear it and then it's going to start knocking next time I'm home. Is that what you got going on?
I'm going to be performing at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts along with Jill Sulloway, who I love.
Oh, my gosh.
From Transparent. Malkia Cyril, who was in 13th. Boots Riley, Latifah Simon, Saul Williams, who you know. Stacey Ann Chin.
I don't know Saul Williams.
Oh, I thought you knew him.
I wish. Okay, go on.
Samora Pinderhughes, Abdi Sultani, and Jose Antonio Vargas.
I know him.
Lil Buck will be there also, dancer.
Don't know.
It is an incredible crew of people. I am so honored to be performing there.
That's a stellar lineup. I will be speaking on a panel at Collaboration. They're in Los Angeles. They're doing a day-long festival out here, and I will be doing some talks on some campuses around town. So keep an eye out. You can check out both of our websites to know where we're at. Happy Halloween, Zara.
Happy Halloween.
I hope you get all the gelatinous haram candy that I never could eat growing up.
Oh, I ate all those, yeah.
Yeah, I never ate those.
Do you like candy corn?
I hate it.
I love it.
I'll get you some candy corn. And I'm wishing all of you, all of our listeners, a happy Halloween and lots of candy. Happy Halloween.
Gin it up.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar. That's TAZZYSTAR. And Zara at Zara Comedy. That's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
Holy
Potluck.
Potluck.
The verse to keep gins away is on Taz's computer right now, the whole time we're doing this.
Oh, yeah. I have to keep them away.
It's hardcore.